and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
Speak for yourself.
Right. You're coasting into 7 shows in a row away on vacation, are you not?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
I've got 1 foot out the door.
Yeah.
And behind that door is a sign that speaks of naming rights. By the way, I've just kicked it open and it's very exciting. You just gotta wait to see it. What a moment.
Good thing they
here comes the moment.
Arrange that.
What a moment. Here comes the moment.
Oh. Would it be...
Just can never get it right.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's possible, though, if things are so bad that, like, no matter what they do, people are going to find a way to poke them.
Some people.
Yeah.
I don't consider myself among them.
I don't...
Most of these things are terrible.
Yeah,
most of these performative, corporate, you know, announcements are just meaningless to almost everyone else. If you work there, it's cool.
Yeah.
Maybe. If you own the company or are the CEO of the company, it's probably pretty cool. Nice little ego trip. No one cares.
Yeah.
Call the building whatever you want. Really.
Right. We're just going to keep calling it the arena, probably.
All I ever call it is the arena.
So.
And just call it whatever you want. I mean, it's not like naming rights. Everybody's building is named for some business now, right? Literally almost every pro sports arena.
Yeah, there are a few exceptions, but yes, mostly all of them. Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not like you have to do it to win, or maybe you do, but it hasn't exactly amounted to winning. No. I don't know. It's just another, there are times when these things happen, right? These things get announced and they can be in the form of a press release or they can be a big production with music. How about the music in the background too, by the way?
I have not listened to a second of it, so I don't know that there was like pageantry-esque music playing. Yeah, okay.
You know, like they were announcing the Hall of Fame names or something. It was sort of like that. But so these things do happen, and I'm not here to say that they shouldn't. But I don't think it's for me about that. They haven't made the playoffs in 14 years when I watch a scene like that. It's more just like, this is amateur hour. I mean, imagine thinking your constituents care at all about something like that. And, I mean, Pegula's in a hockey helmet?
That's real?
Isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know.
You didn't think it was real? Maybe it was. Maybe it felt
the only footage I've seen of it is the doctored footage of the doors opening and there being palm trees or a banner that says whatever. Just all the stuff that's memeable. where there's a meme, there's a way. I guess that's all. So I didn't know. I did see one picture of him with a hockey helmet on, but I thought maybe someone just created that. Well, I didn't know if that was a real. But that was
maybe
something.
I'm guilty.
No, I'm being Zach's in there nodding his head. That yes, that was real. So yeah,
just I mean, what? Yeah. What? Anyway, enough, right? Enough.
Yeah.
Can we move on?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was just trying to make a mention of the doors because I was just because
you got one
jokingly saying,
hours.
I'm almost out of here for a little bit. Which you know, I also love being here. Seriously, it's not like I'm
sure. I know what you mean. But
eager to leave.
It's nice to
enjoy the break,
get out of there, and spend some time doing some other things.
The big news, of course, is Max Hairston, and it looks like they got away with it. Avoiding a season-ending injury is what the case is here by all accounts. And I want to come at that from the same angle as yesterday when we feared the worst about Hairston and how you and I had a conversation about, like, half my life ago, I wouldn't have thought about the person at all.
Right.
You know, you're a guy in a uniform on my team. And that's it. I wouldn't have cared about his personal circumstances. I wouldn't even have necessarily thought about long-term ramifications except for what they would mean to the Bills.
Right.
And so as you get older, you look at these things differently sometimes, and what a relief for him. I mean, to do it the same way today when it's good news,
right,
is like how great for him. He had to be fearing the worst himself.
Yeah, he and his family and whoever has been like a part of his journey. I mean, like we talked about yesterday, you think about all of those people. If you're in the same sort of headspace that you and I seem to be in, and so yeah, today is a lot of relief for them. You know, I'm not assuming how much earlier they knew than we found out, but still, like whatever. There's relief today. Okay. You know, our son is not going to miss his entire first season. He's got some work to do here to get back within some amount of weeks, but it's not a devastating injury at all, really. I mean, easy for me to say, but it's considering the timeline is weeks instead of a year, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, he should play the opener probably.
Right, yeah.
So, very good. Well, in terms of the big picture, we've said this a lot. They just really have no excuse this year. I recognize and am really, who wouldn't be, impressed, to put it mildly, by all the winning they've done, by what they've built. But the championship has eluded them. Even a trip to the Super Bowl has eluded them, this particular team. And if they get tripped up, what trips them up? You know, like if you're Brandon Bean and, you know, his staff sitting around a conference table, and hopefully the chairs are in the proper position and not.
If you're wired like me, they better be, yeah.
If you're in that meeting, and your job is to try to prevent anything from going wrong, like what do we have to worry about here? That's not, you could accuse me or us of this if you want. It's not radio guys being negative. I think it's how good teams also would think and talk. You know, not McDermott necessarily. He's doing his own thing, but Bean responsible for the roster.
Yeah, you gotta look at it. It's almost like forecasting the weather. You know, but not necessarily for tomorrow. More like weeks and months out, right? Like where are their potential storm clouds, and how do we plan our trip around them? Right. I want to avoid Tornado Alley. I don't want to go somewhere where there might be a tsunami. Let's look at the road ahead. And yeah, I mean, I think that's a responsible way to run a team. I think is to try to prepare, foresee what could go wrong. Right. And, you know, we all know that there's certain what happened with Hairston, but at a more important, impactful level, obviously from quarterback, that is 1A, 1 through 10 are all that, I think, and then everything else. But, you know, you can only do so much about preventing that. I'm sure they're on top of that, sports science and managing, you know, snaps and amount of workouts and rest days, given a guy's age and injury history and all that sort of stuff. But everything about the job is avoiding the ditch. Not actually everything, but I think a part of the job is avoiding the ditch, especially if you are a team at the level that the Bills have been at. You know, you don't have to worry as much about finding continuity on your offensive line. Again, you know, irrespective of injury potential, like you've got that set up. You've picked these players, those players, whatever. You've got a veteran-laden team that looks, you know, ready to be as good as they've been, if not better, every year. And so how do I keep that on track? What could potentially become a problem for us? And yeah, I mean, I think that's a part of the gig, is being ready for that. So you don't, that's why you have, I'm sure, depth charts that don't include guys on your team. Right, it's why, like Sal talked about this with us on Monday, I think, when we heard that there were a couple of receivers in, because the Bills were down as many as four guys when practice began on Monday at that position, and there were a couple of guys in town working out that, you know, fans had heard of: Willie Snead, Justin Ross, and
Justin with a Y,
right? Thank you.
and my pleasure.
You know, you want to be ready, you know, you want a phone call away if something goes wrong. That's only one small part of it, though. But sure, being ready for everything is part of the job.
It's really, I mean, wide receiver comes up all the time with this, but as of right now, like tomorrow's the last day of July. Preseason football starts tomorrow night. Here we go. There's not a lot. There's some things you could do with the roster, but not a lot. You'll have maybe a couple of, well, we probably definitely will have a few trades before week one around the league for guys who are, you know, going to be cut or just basically their surplus on rosters. This Bills roster, I don't know what I would feel any urgency to do about it. If I lose Max Hairston, that's different. Then I have to at least consider, you know, how badly do I need someone else? But when we talked about him yesterday, with the idea that he might not be here this year, you know, we had the conversation, and Sal also, like, they have depth.
Yeah.
If they had lost him, they wouldn't necessarily have brought in a corner because of the, you know, the way they drafted this year and Cam Lewis and other guys that might mix in.
Yeah, they might have brought in a body to get through camp, but you know, we talked about Rasul Douglas and Stephon Gilmore, for instance, and like, at least as far as Douglas goes, I would just as soon trust, if I wasn't going to have Hairston, which of course now we know that we should, you know, in a matter of weeks, get him back before, you know, certainly before the opener at least. I don't know that I would need to plop Rasul Douglas into a mix that has the guys that already has and includes the rookie draft picks. But, you know, I don't know if they feel like they need another body. It's only one guy here, and they haven't had any other injuries at the position to this point, knock on wood. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like they're in pretty good shape at corner. All the Hairston thing did, and that is obviously largely diminished now, is that it took away just the, for me, Tre'Davious White. Well, this is cool. He's sort of winning the competition. What a nice story. You know, when I thought Hairston could be out for the year, that kind of became, boy, he better be good. I hope he can stay healthy. We kind of need you now, as opposed to, what a nice story. Now it's back more to being kind of a nice story because Hairston will be back sooner rather than later, and hopefully the amount of time he misses isn't too impactful for him to get back up to speed and play some role, you know, relatively early this season even.
So depth, I mean, you're not trading for, I think, a starter at this date. Although Bill Barnwell today, it's a fun idea, as usual from him. Team by team, it's just recently out. Team by team, how many players on each team are worth a first round pick or more? Kind of a fun exercise. Mm-hmm. So like TJ Watt, he got his contract, but some before that, Hendrickson's even in. Yep. Somebody like that, I could see it. But I don't think the Bills, I think trades like that, while might be called for and might be possible, might be realistic, apart from the urgency the other team feels to make the move, like Hendrickson, especially before he walked in, McLaurin before he walked in, he's holding in, but got, it was more stark like a week ago in those cases. You might want those players and think that's worth doing, but it might not be time to do it right now. Like, unless the other team feels urgency to move those players right now, then you have to act, and maybe you get left out. I think ideally for the Bills, you do what you did last year, and last year ended up on Amari Cooper. You wade into the season. I mean, it's with the odds on them to win the AFC East and be, you know, a contender, you can afford that. You might not. Miami, there are maybe better examples, can't look at the grid that way. Like, they have to win games. Like, they can't afford to, we'll be 8-3, whatever we'll be, and then we'll see what's out there for us. And, you know, the market last year, you had a couple of other trades, and
right, a team like that should feel pressure to make up ground, you know, and that maybe, even though they traded good players, I'm assuming they feel like they made their team better by trading away Ramsey, maybe addition by subtraction, if nothing else.
I don't know.
If he's one of the guys that was kind of a problem in the room or whatever. But, you know, Minka Fitzpatrick's a good player, and, you know, I'm assuming they made that deal. I know we wondered at the time, right? Like, what are they doing exactly? Like, is Miami trying to get better, or are they backing up, or what's happening there? I'm assuming they're making moves, trying to be as good as they can be right now. I think there should be urgency there with how long their front office has been intact and the coach. You know, it's part of the reason I don't like them this year. I think that they're going to fall short and there could be a house cleaning there. But I think organizationally they're trying to close the gap that is perceived, and maybe they even agree with it, between, I mean, the standings tell you that there is. The odds tell you that there is between they and the Bills. So, yeah, they're playing a different game this summer, I think, than a team like Buffalo is.
Yeah, most teams are, right? Like, most teams would not have the luxury of, as I put it, wading into the season, which I think the Bills do. So they might want to make a trade down the road, but they might want to see what they've got first. Let's play half the hand and then see, like, where are we short? That's what you'd want to do. But apart from a bigger kind of move, what should they be doing right now? I mean, of course they're going to be, what does Sal say? They have somebody on staff who's responsible for being a GM for every other team in the league.
Right.
A few people have, like, maybe multiple teams, but, you know, what's going on with the Bears? And somebody on the Bills staff will know. And here's somebody that might not make the roster that we would like, whatever that is. Like,
yeah,
you're doing
be,
all of that.
Yeah, that might be better than someone we've got in a similar depth position right now. I doubt anything like that rises to the level of a starter caliber player for this team right now. But sure, yeah, could this guy be in a numbers crunch? And what's his contract? Could he be in trouble? Is that someone we can pluck away for a small asset and divest ourselves of, you know, whatever role player, depth player we have in that spot right now? Does that make us better if that's all part of what we talked about initially here already? Like, just sort of preparing for what, you know, what could befall you as you get up and running and going into your season. So be ready. And yeah, that can start now, like summertime, as soon as cuts are getting ready to be made, there could be guys that they are maybe expecting or thinking, certainly it's possible that they get cut, that they may want to act on.
But for all this talking, really, I'm just saying, I don't know what I would think that I need if I'm the Bills.
Yeah.
And the wide receiver stuff has been long played out. Right now, they would probably not be looking for somebody at this point, I would think.
I would definitely agree with that. I think, like you just said a minute ago, like, get into your season and see, you know, but before the deadline gets here, you've got, what, 6 games, 7, 8 games, however many it is. You've got some games to decide, okay, how is Josh Palmer impacting our offense? What has Keon Coleman done? Has he elevated somewhat, right? What is Dalton Kincaid doing? Like, the key pass catchers that I think are being counted on to come through, right? Is Shakir still Shakir? I don't think there's any reason to doubt that, but still, you know, you'd want to be paying attention to all of that. And if you get, like, some degree of thumbs up across the board on that, then, you know, the urgency doesn't exist. But if there's some question about steps being taken by any of these guys once you get into the games, then, you know, that's when you consider shopping.
You got to love Barnwell. He does go as far as to put a trade value on Allen. You want to guess it? It's only draft picks.
Okay. Is there a limit on how many number one draft picks a team can trade that I don't know about?
I'm assuming there. I think there is, but for these purposes, there isn't.
Okay. I'm going to say it's 5 first round picks.
5 is right.
Okay.
Actually, he says 6, 7, they're not trading him.
Right. Right.
Two other players, he writes, would be worth a first, that you should have to give up a first to get them. And he does, you know, smartly account for contracts. So, for example, one wouldn't be Benford, because Benford just got a big deal.
He did, but I still, I think it's barely top 20 in the league. So, but I hear you. Okay, it's not a rookie deal. Yeah,
right. What he writes is he's really not a significant bargain. Same with Shakir.
Okay,
both similar, like, yep, not huge, the biggest, right, money, but good to great, mm-hmm, and not bargains anymore. But he says he points out two other players on the team that could be worth a first.
How is Osiris Torrance for this?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't think of him.
Yeah.
Maybe this is too hard. I don't know if I would have guessed it.
It's a guard. I mean, I don't know. You know, that would be, but right.
Well, one is Spencer Brown.
Okay. So a lineman.
Big move.
And he's got a big, last year. He's got a big contract already. Like, again, sort of like Shakir and
yep. Benford.
Benford, thank you.
But he says.
That blocked out for some reason.
If he continues his existing level of play, the extension will age very well.
Yeah.
Brown.
Right.
And the other is Rousseau. And that makes sense because he's been pretty productive. And when you were fixating on Myles Garrett, like, do they want Rousseau? What's Rousseau really worth? Am I going to want to pay him?
Right.
You know, that kind of deal. No, if I can get this better guy, I'd rather do that, right. Even though it's more expensive. So the other is Rousseau on his column. It's free column at ESPN.com. 803-0550 for us. Hairston, good news. What will trip them up, if anything does? The roster. You had a taste of it yesterday into today with Hairston. You know, a bad injury to an important guy. I mean, there's always, that can trip up anybody. With Sal yesterday, I brought up red zone targets, like who Allen will want to lean on, you know, goal to go sort of passing plays. That's an interesting one. I wanted to know what you would say to that. Like who needs to be the man for touchdowns in the passing game? Or do they, again, this year, like last year, not need anybody to do it? Because he'll just walk in and, you know, destroy you on the way. So we've got that to talk about, and I was also having some fun with pondering and projecting Josh Allen's, like, the rest of his career, statistically.
Mm.
So I'll let you know what I have on that here as we continue. Lines open for your calls. Lots to talk about. The Bills are off today. Preseason opener for them is a week from Saturday. The Hall of Fame game, Chargers-Lions, is tomorrow night. Picks. I'm not going to be here tomorrow. We're going to pick this game.
Oh, my.
I'll just pick it myself before we leave. So you have it. As last year's winner, I'll go first, and then you can either we'll just push the game, or we can have some real fun.
Did you win by a lot? I don't even remember how that ended up.
I don't think it was a lot.
Yeah.
We went to the playoffs.
Okay.
Went into the playoffs.
All right.
Right?
Yeah. I don't remember who won, honestly. I'm not disputing that you won. I just don't remember myself, like how close it was, competitive it was, anything. So.
Yeah. By the time we got into the second round or the third round, you were talking about, do I
just pick opposite you every game?
I think that's what happened.
That kind of thing.
I'm embarrassed if that's wrong. That's how I remember it.
Yeah.
Lines open. We'll be right back. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Very strong. He can come in out of his breaks. He's very elusive. He can change directions, makes the DBs think that he's going one way, comes out the other way. He's very exciting to watch just because of the plays that he can make. It's just seeing him do it on a consistent level. And so far, since I've been here, he's been pretty consistent. I mean, I know it's year two for him, so I'm still getting to learn him as a person mainly. You know, I see what he does as a player, so just trying to get to know him as a person and see how I can help in any way that I can, really. I know I've been in the league a lot longer, so not a lot longer, but like a few years. You know, these young guys coming out. You know, you just try to help them in any way that you can.
Joshua Palmer talking about Bulldog. Signed a tryout contract with the Bills. He's been in the league longer than Bulldog. That's accurate. Wants to just help any way he can.
I appreciate that help.
It's actually Coleman he's talking about.
Oh.
Sorry, everyone. Taking you down that path. Late July, preseason tomorrow night, camp, everything, all of it, futures, bets. You got Sam on Friday. I won't be here, but I've been watching his show again of late, Sam and Joe. Bet Sweats, watched this morning. Did some football futures they did today. So we're there. NFL. Fantasy, right? Got to mention fantasy. Oh, something happened.
What's that now?
Something happened. I'll just say how I feel about this.
Something happened.
Never, ever agree to a trade and then renege.
All right.
Even if you thought about it and you weren't thrilled about it, you still have to do it.
Well, once you agree, yeah.
Once you agree, you still have to do it.
You can't. There's no follow-up email. Hey, you know, I shouldn't have hit send already. I'm having second thoughts. No.
That's how I feel.
Too bad.
Too bad.
That should be binding. You sent word that you agree, then you agree, and then that's it. I'm turning my phone off.
100%. Keep your dignity.
Yeah.
You know what? Because now you're the guy that did that.
Nobody likes the guy that does something like that.
No.
I mean, even it's one of your best friends that you've had a great relationship with, that would damage the friendship, I think. Like, you would think less. I would think less of
me,
a person. Yeah. In this case, sure. I would. I mean, I don't think it would harm us irreparably or something, but I would, like, I can't believe he did that.
I have a close friend that I feel that way about. Trading with him is really, like, annoying.
Uh-huh.
Because he, you know this person.
Yes, I do. I know exactly who you're talking
about. He will say yes. Would you do this? Yes. I will say yes. And he'll be like, all right, I'll get back to you.
Right.
Like, no, no, no. No, 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 no.
Right.
You said this was an offer. I mean, sometimes that can be vague, but once it isn't, this was an offer. If I say yes to it, we're doing it. Nobody wants to go first.
Right.
Nobody wants to send the offer because everybody's always afraid that their offer is like too cheap. And if I send you a trade offer and you just take it, what's my reaction going to be?
I could have gotten more. I got robbed. Yeah.
I could have gotten more.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what almost every fantasy player does is they announce like in the chat or on Discord or whatever, some thread.
Yeah. Hey, I'm thinking about maybe doing this. What do you guys think?
Chuba Hubbard is on the block.
Yeah.
And I go, well, why wasn't he? Why aren't all your players available? Like, I don't care if you want to. I could go all day. You know it. I mean, I could have a podcast on this stuff, which I do.
Like, yeah, I think you already do that. Yeah, actually.
The guy, the guy's move is he asks me the same way every time. Would you consider trading Malik Nabers? Right? Somebody like that.
Yeah.
Would you consider, I'll just get a text. Would you consider trading Malik Nabers? What's my answer? Sure.
Yeah, what are you prepared to offer me for Malik Nabers?
I would consider trading Malik Nabers. What do you want? I want Malik Nabers. But if you want to try to trade for Malik Nabers, do it.
Build a trade, send it to me, and I'll tell you whether I like that or
not. That's right.
That's enough.
That's it. That's it.
You've got a deal.
I'm not going to go shopping Malik Nabers. What sense does that make? But I also don't want to just say no,
right?
Because there would be an offer conceivably that would be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So would you consider trading Malik Nabers? Yes. Back to you. But once you say, this one I think is more obvious. Like once you say you would do a deal, then you need to do the deal.
Yeah, especially if you initiated the whole thing to begin with. Like in this scenario, right? Would you take such and such from my team for this guy from your team? And I guess, I don't know, how much lifting is Wood doing there, right? Because it's not, like, maybe this person feels like that's not an official offer because I'm merely asking you, would you do this?
Versus will you?
Will you?
Oh.
Right? I have a trade offer for you. Is like a declaration, like, I'm ready to do this now. Wood is a little more vague, I think. I still don't like it. But I think maybe I'm guessing this person feels like I'm feeling you out by asking, would you do this? I still don't. I think it's kind of crappy.
Yeah, that can get a little bit murky.
Yeah.
But you know, you said yes.
Right.
It's not worth it. Now you're the guy that reneged on the trade.
Yeah,
I don't want to trade with you again.
Yeah, I can find some wiggle room there. This, no.
No.
You tell me yes, that's it. We're done.
That's it.
There's no walking that back.
What can happen where there would be also wiggle room is if a trade offer is sent mistakenly, like there's something wrong, something you didn't mean to include, or you just misdid it somehow. And that has happened to me where I woke up, I've told this story before, Mike Dempsey's league. I woke up one morning. Some apps are more confusing to me, at least, than others. And so it said, this player for a first-round pick. I'm like, oh, I'd love a first-round pick. I'm in. Just snap call. But it turned out I was the one sending the first-round pick.
Right. It was the reverse of what
you thought. I have too many teams to know, like, who's on every one of these teams. Mm-hmm. So I just didn't think about, is this guy actually someone that I have? It wasn't. So I traded a one for, you know, some
And even with that, Joe. There was no backing out of it.
I did not. I chose to not make that request.
Try to back up. Right.
That's right. Because that's embarrassing.
Right.
I live with it. I did it.
Right.
And I told Mike, and Mike even said, oh, you should have just asked me to undo it. I'm like, I would never.
Right. Well, that's admirable about you, I think.
I'm not proud of everything about myself, but this one is one that I, this is an area where
there's got to be a code. People have to have a code, whether,
yep.
whether there are laws or not, code.
You could do it the Sneaky Joe way.
What's the Sneaky Joe
way?
Well,
it can be sneaky, but what I like this about Joe, he'll just send you the offer. He sent me an offer 2 days ago. It was awful.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately rejected it. But, you know, I respect that he was willing to put a price on his guy. Like, here,
right.
I would give you this. You never know who somebody else likes or doesn't like.
There was no feeling out. It was just, here's this.
Yeah,
no wood.
He's having fun with it.
Right.
It took me -8 seconds to reject the trade.
Right.
I actually pulled my hamstring, sprinting for the button across the room because I take pride in how fast I can turn down an awful trade offer. Here's Kurt with us. Hi, Kurt.
Hey, guys. Love the show. I'm pulling Thanks. Back. From a trade that happened in my league, except the guy who pulled back was the commissioner of the league. So he used his commissioner powers to cancel the trade and then was like trying to talk his way out of it. It caused all sorts of mayhem in the league.
Yeah, I think this commissioner needs to be impeached and you need to quit this league. That's what my advice would be. That might be an overreaction. This might be, I don't know, it could be your dad you're talking about. I don't know. But so, you know, my apologies if I'm overstepping, but I would quit.
Probably your friend.
Yeah, friends from like high school, so it's hard. But now we just have this ridiculous oligarchy of commissioners, and hopefully never not something like this happens again.
That's a mess.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Don't like it at all.
I tend to be the type to have too many rules, so that the like loopholes aren't found. You know, things like that. But there was one league. You know, I'm a sure thing, right? So I'll almost always say yes. And there was one league with a very fun, interesting format, and I really got into it. I spent time like trying to figure out on my own, all right, what are player values going to be like in this league? Because this is unusual. Like, it was cool. And so I, you know, was planning on joining. I might have even had, well, this is kind of back to the other thing. I might have even agreed to do it. And then I was in a conversation. I didn't know the guy very well, but I was like excited. And I was in a conversation with him in person one night after work. And he started talking about trading guys for food.
Huh?
That he would like give you free pizza. That he might have done something like that before. That, you know, hey, if you wanted a pizza or something, sure, we could work. I'm like, I'm out.
Right.
I'm out. There can't be under the table.
Yeah, no, I'm not here for
kickbacks.
I'm not here for bartering other, commerce.
This no, is not, that can, ne- not, that can never
not,
be.
That is not okay.
Never, ever, ever.
No, right.
It's like I'm trying to get a job with a contractor or something, and through a politician. Just take this bribes. No, all that's bad.
Yeah, it doesn't sound right at all.
I'm maybe naive, but all that should be obviously banned. Hall of Fame game tomorrow night, Chargers and Lions. Trey Lance, I think the whole first half for LA.
Why not the whole game? Do they have another guy that they,
sure they do.
Was the third overall pick in a draft that needs reps? I mean, why not just play him?
I'm sure they do. We just did this the other day. The
right, all the
backup
quarterbacks.
Right. He would be their third. Taylor Heinicke.
Okay, yep.
So probably if he's healthy, I don't know who's healthy or who's not in this case. But if he's healthy, maybe it's Trey Lance and Taylor Heinicke tomorrow night versus, if not, Jared Goff, Hendon Hooker, and Kyle Allen. Wasn't he here?
Yes. I I think.
For a year?
I got to tell you, as far as preseason, even Hall of Fame game football goes, Trey Lance, Hendon Hooker, this game every year comes and it's the same every year. And then the Bills' first preseason game is similar. It's like, all right, football. Mm. 8 minutes into the first quarter. What else is on? My God, this is intolerable. Hendon Hooker, Trey Lance is going to keep my attention, I predict.
Let's find out.
I liked Hendon Hooker coming out. There was a point where I thought, like, if Goff doesn't work, by the time they drafted Hooker, I think Goff was already demonstrating that he was going to work out for them. But I liked Hooker. I wasn't quite as high on him as, say, I was Jalen Milroe this last draft cycle. But I liked Hendon Hooker. And he and Trey Lance playing NFL football from Canton, Ohio tomorrow that's going to keep my attention.
Last year's Hall of Fame game? Bears 21, Texans 17, no Caleb Williams, no C.J. Stroud in that one. Yeah. It was Davis Mills versus Tyson Bagent. So this is better than that. You're right.
This is way better than that.
You have a good feeling about the quarterbacks here, and I get it. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 803-0550. None of this segment was anything about what we talked about before. It ended up being about trades and Trey Lance. But, hey, that happens sometimes. Hope you were able to hang with us there.
Yeah. It's okay. It allowed me to keep my attention on this Red Sox-Twins game where the Twins have obviously gone to a position player to pitch the ninth inning, and the Red Sox hit back-to-back home runs off them. So it was 9-1. Now it's 13-1. And, like, you know, it's getaway day, and, like, holy cow already, Boston. The umpire's going to be like, will you stop hitting the ball? Can we just all go home now, please?
So this Clemens you're saying is not Roger Clemens
or
his son?
I'm only asserting that because of the form he's displaying throwing this ball to the home plate. It does not look like he's a pitcher.
Nice little tight strike there at 64.
Right.
On the black. I think it's their first baseman. I'll look it up. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.